The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga this morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. The warm weather has finally made its way up to upstate New York. And we're glad you're here with us today. We have a really special guest, Dr. Emanuel Ostrich. And he's been on the show before. Very interesting. He's got a new programs and he's veered off a little bit from his main career and is taking it places that is amazing. So good morning, doctor.
Good morning. And this is where I'm going to take off my doctor hat. I'll put on my coach hat.
Okay.
Because that's a new venture.
All right. That's the way you do it. I would like you to introduce yourself. You've got a great website, yournextact.com. And in the beginning, it really describes you to a T. So if we can't.
Yeah. So the website is manuelastrich.com.
And okay.
The program is Your Next Act.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've been practicing psychiatry in the area for well over 20 years. I started with the mental health unit and at Saratoga Hospital and also Saratoga County Alcohol Services. Worked there for many years. And then I went into my private practice. And that was very successful. I was quite busy. And what happened was that over years, whenever I needed more cash flow, I just added more hours.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 years ago, it got to the point where I was working 12 hours a day. And I just got very burnt out. And something had to change. And it was at the same time that my twin sister Magdalena had passed away in 2008. And what I figured out was that what I was doing was not going to be sustainable in the long run. And I started searching for somewhere where I could make a bigger impact. And it's been 12 years to get to the point that I am today. But over those 12 years, I've made many changes in myself and how I live my life. And I have just been seeking a place to have a bigger impact. And the very act of having a bigger purpose and learning and growing has been really very transformative in terms of my burnout. And that's part of what I teach today. My life doesn't look that different than it did 12 years ago, but I feel like a completely different person.
Mm-hmm. I read a meme on Facebook that said I'm going to not quote it exactly because I can't remember, but a long life is judged by how happy you are in your life, including your work. And it makes a lot of sense because if you you keep going in a job that you like, but you're burned out and you don't have an option to get out, you don't seek help, let's say from a person like you, who has that great business next step, your next act, you can really stress your body to a point where at some point it's going to break.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. On a continuum, if you think of a spectrum, there's, early stages of something and later stages of something. And with burnout, what we end up is, you start off just getting a little bit more tired and less fulfilled with work. Everybody has that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But if it progresses and it gets worse, it gets to the point that it is actually burnout. And burnout is an occupational syndrome as defined by the World Health Organization. It's got three components. There's exhaustion. There's cynicism. You just get very bitter. And you start feeling as effective in your work. You stop being as effective in your work. And if that progresses, your point is you get physically sick, you can get depressed, and stress is just not good for you. It's not good for your body. One of the challenges with burnout is that the very factors that are causing it, you tend to get tunnel vision. Your creativity and your ability to think outside of the box and the problem solve goes away. And it's really a very downward spiral where it gets worse and worse unless you take some actions to make it better.
Mm-hmm. Not only does it affect your personal health, your family health, but it affects your business too.
All of it. It hits you in, you know, where you're working, your business and your decision making. It hurts you physically, your own health, and then there's a huge impact on your relationships and your family.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I wanted to talk about too, and we'll get into more of your next act. That was a, you know, burnout is a the big topic, and we'll get back into that more. But this is, you're gonna turn your counselor hat to the side, and we're gonna go back to your first career. This is Mental Health Month.
Yeah.
And I don't think at any point this could be a better month for mental health to be because of the past year. Things relaxing now. Mask wearing is still a topic that some people just don't want to wear masks, and some people do. And when people don't and do, they're together, there can be friction. What about COVID and mental health? How did that affect people that you've seen, and your take on that?
It's been a hard year. And when it started, nobody really knew how long this was going to take. Mm-hmm. So back in March 2020, things get shut down. And I had a cohort of my patients who were telling me that, you know, they've been in training their entire life to be shut down. Like, it didn't faze them one bit.
Really?
Yeah, so there's people who are sort of loners, and they don't get out much, and that's one of the ways that they live and they protect themselves. And but a lot of other people were starting to get the social isolation and more depressed, more drinking, more bad habits that get developed. And I think that, you know, over the course of time from March till the winter time hit, you know, people were sort of putting up with things reasonably well, even if it was pretty uncomfortable. But the winter was just a really brutal winter.
Yeah.
Everybody was kind of suffering with the isolation, not being able to get out anywhere, and lack of physical contact, lack of being able to interact. It was just really hard. So a lot more depression.
Yeah. Which you probably see every winter. That is kind of a tough time of the year for a lot of people because, like you said, they can't get out. I mean, even a simple ride to the mall to walk around, see people. You don't even have to go out there to shop. It just makes you feel much better. And this year we didn't have that, as you said. But, you know, people have a syndrome for wintertime that they can't deal with a lot of things, and normally, and this just compounded everything.
Yeah, you're right. So the entity is seasonal affective disorder, the winter blues, and about 20% of the population will get some element of that without it being clinically diagnosable as a depression. But you get down, you want to hibernate, you get more tired, you tend to eat more.
Mm-hmm.
In the restaurant business, the sale of desserts goes up in the wintertime. 5% of the population will actually get depressive symptoms that are diagnosable and impact functioning with the seasonal affective disorder. SAD is what we call that. And it was a double whammy. So the winter blues with COVID, it was a hard winter for a lot of folks.
Yeah. You know, you talked about getting into bad habits. You know, it gets darker earlier. So you think it's okay, I can eat now because it's dark. And I think animals and humans tend to put on weight in the wintertime. It goes back to prehistoric times. I don't know, because it gets cold out and you. I can see that. I mean, winter is tough, and at least in the spring, summer, and fall, you can get outside and do things. Even if you're retired and you don't have anything to do, a lot of stuff you can do outside, yard work and that. Nobody wants to go out and snow blow or shovel 8 inches of snow.
Yeah, and you know, the great Northeast, one of the challenges that we have here is that the sun starts to come out, but the weather doesn't follow for a while. So it's almost, we're just waiting for the warm weather for us to be able to get out and do our spring, summer stuff.
And you know, it's not funny, but you looked around last year to see what was considered essential businesses, and a liquor store was considered an essential business. And at first I said, what the heck is going on there? But I can see that, because there's a lot of people that are alcohol dependent. And if you cut that off entirely, we would have had quite a few people that would be roaming the streets. You know, and that's unfortunate, but it is like a drug addiction. And so I can see where that, you know, that happened. And but yeah, there's so many things that transition from nice weather times into bad weather times. And when you got a compound like this pandemic that we had, you know, it was just crazy. But what were challenges that you faced not being able to see patients face-to-face and doing a lot of phone? Because a lot of doctors' offices, a lot of the medical profession had to relearn how to deal with patients, either video chats or over the phone. And how was that adjustment made by you?
I was in a really, you know, very fortunate position with my psychiatric practice. March 12th, 2020 is when we stopped seeing patients in the office, and we were very easily able to change to phone calls and occasionally video calls. The patients that are in treatment with me are people who have been in treatment with me for years, so it really didn't impact the ability to continue with a relationship that had been already established. And I hadn't taken any new patients for a while, but I have two nurse practitioners in my office now, which has allowed us to take on new patients. And they have done mainly Zoom sessions with patients, because it's just so much more helpful to be face-to-face.
Sure.
And it's interesting when I talk to my patients, because we're starting to have people come into the office now. And the question is, you know, do you want to come in? And what I get is everybody agrees it's better face-to-face. Like, there's no disagreement about that. But 90% of people love the convenience factor of not having to take time out of their day to come to an office. Mm-hmm. And then take time to leave and get back into their life. That's sure. Just a cost that's difficult. And then 10% of people can't wait to come in.
Yeah.
They just can't wait. And one of the interesting things, a nuance that I hadn't really thought about beforehand when we started doing the virtual appointments, is that people take advantage of the fact that it's on the phone call. So you'll have an appointment and someone's driving. You'll have an appointment someone's shopping. They're in a parking lot, right? They're checking out from the grocery store. Like, give me just a minute.
They don't take that time and prioritize it.
They don't set that priority of, you know, this is my you know, treatment time. Let me focus on that. They're multitasking. We're all so busy.
I saw a cartoon today, and these three guys were going back to work, and the one guy says, can you believe we're going back to the office? I enjoyed so much working home from home. And the other one says, yeah, I know it. He says, but it's going to be good to see people. And the other one says, yeah, I missed that personal contact. And neither three were wearing pants. They had the suit coats on and the shirt. But, I mean, that's what you could do from working at home when you were doing Zoom meetings, right. You know. And I just thought that just hit me. I thought it was funny, yeah. You know. So the COVID did present challenges. How did it present challenges to your coaching business, now the coaching profession?
I had a vision for my coaching, a five-year plan. And initially, I was doing local workshops. And I'd rented an office that had a conference room that I'd started to use to bring people in. And my goal was to really, you know, work on getting my confidence and my clientele up locally. And then I was going to go national, which would require using Zoom and things of that nature. But when the pandemic hit, you know, March 12th, we were shut down. So there was no more local conferences. So my five-year plan ended up being compressed into, like, right now. And the pivot required really committing to another level of growth. The ability to get very clear on who my target audience was. So the service that we provide with the coaching is really to help people to flourish. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. Nobody buys here's how to flourish. That's even though everybody wants that, it's hard to make that sell. So the pain point and the problem that I solve is stress and burnout. The audience that I serve are high functioning, high level, financially, doing well entrepreneurs, because they have a lot of stress and they have a lot of burnout in that field. And the problem that I solve then is helping them with burnout. And after that, it's flourishing with, focusing on their mental fitness. The idea that as you grow yourself, you're going to be much more successful as a leader in your organization. Mm-hmm. So that plan had to be implemented over the course of the first quarter. And I started to, commit more funds to marketing and to make myself known out in the community, in the broader international community. I joined organizations where I could talk and be around entrepreneurs. And it's just been a blast to see how entrepreneurs really gravitate to self-improvement. They really see the value of that and the suffering that there is. You know, entrepreneurs are incredibly hardworking folks, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of suffering in that community.
Mm-hmm. As we found out this past year.
Yeah.
But it's, do you find it very hard for someone that's been in a business or industry that don't want help in how to improve or different ways of looking at business so that they may be able to help themselves grow more, because they think they've got it down, they know exactly what to do, even though it's not 100% working well?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's, over 12 years, it's learning how marketing works. As a psychiatrist, all I had to do was hang a shingle and people came in.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who need psychiatric services, are mm-hmm. looking for psychiatric services. And it's an area that there's a shortage of providers. So you don't need any marketing. You
right.
just need to, like, hang up a shingle and call a couple of people. I'm open for business. My nurse practitioners who joined the practice, over the course of probably 4 months, 5 months, you know, they've filled up their schedule pretty easily with new patients. So the pain point that you look for, you want to find someone who's got a problem, mm-hmm. and then you solve it. So the problem can't be flourishing. The problem is I'm stressed out and I'm burnt out and I'm not functioning well, right? So the definition of burnout, you're exhausted, mm-hmm. you're bitter, cynical, that's affecting your relationships and your ability to be a good leader, and you're not as effective at your job. So that's a pain point that if you catch someone with that level of problem, mm-hmm. and you offer them a solution, it can be really helpful. At the same time, the last piece of it is someone has to have a mindset of wanting to invest in themselves. So we'll invest in equipment, we'll invest in hiring other people, but you know, the folks who work best with me are the people who really look at investing in themselves and their well-being and see the benefit of that. And that's part of my job when I'm reaching out in marketing is to, you know, help people to see that.
Right. And I also think a big, right, your marketing has to target people that want that next level or that next step that probably never thought they would need to go there, but they need help. I mean, they're burned out. What do I do? You know, I'm too young to get out of the business and, you know, what else am I going to do? So, and a lot, do you find out too, I mean, you work with mainly big businesses or do you work with middle and smaller businesses too?
I have a Facebook Live page, mm-hmm. where, you know, Manuel Astro Coaching on Facebook, where I give a lot of information that's what we call freemium. So, mm-hmm. so good information at, you know, for no cost. And there's some interactions there for anybody can engage. And it's not all business people who are on there. My current marketing is geared to folks who have, financial freedom, mm-hmm. and are able to invest in themselves. Okay. Building out my individual coaching, the executive coaching, I want 10 people in there. I've got 3 right now. Mm-hmm. And as that gets built out, I'll be building a group coaching program that's going to focus on mental fitness so okay. that you can get back to, feel your best, perform your best, and really, transform business and personal lives.
Okay. You have 3 categories of your next step program. And I know the first one, as we've been talking about, why don't you tell us the 3? Because I think they...
So it's one-to-one. The one-to-one coaching is live and active right now. And, mm-hmm. and there's limited availability for that with my time. So I'm going to take 10 individuals into that program, 3 currently enrolled. The group coaching is currently closed. I'm building out that platform and exactly how that's going to work. It's going to focus on delivering... number one is... freedom from the suffering of burnout. So we're mm-hmm. going to get people better from that. But then it's going to be a continuity program in which I want to be teaching the high level skills to get your mental fitness increased so that you can have more resiliency. And the more fit you are mentally and emotionally, the better a leader you are, and the more you're going to thrive in your life. The, mm-hmm. the idea of happiness and flourishing is the end result of what we want in life.
So I would think from what we're talking about and what I get from the website is burnout is the number one problem. And then what you had just said is the end result,
right,
of going through the process to get to that point.
Exactly.
Now I went on to your, to the website, and there's, you have these 10, 15-minute pieces that anybody can get on and yeah. listen to. One of the things, and we just said, procrastination, what can help with building up mental toughness, stop procrastinating, and step up the lead. And I always look at that because, you know, I had several small businesses, and I think procrastinating in a small for a small business person is huge. Even though they may not be burned out, you'll always say, well, I can do this tomorrow or in 3 days. And then that comes and you don't do it. And that can hurt your business too, because you can't focus on what you want to do and set a time schedule to do it in.
For small businesses, when the owner is doing a lot of what's required to run the business, that's a problem. And the challenge is to figure out, you know, the essentials, make sure that you're hitting your essentials. But there's a nuance here that no one gets to the bottom of their inbox, right? So your inbox is always going to have stuff that needs doing. And entrepreneurs who are functioning and have big dreams and big goals, they're often measuring their success and how hard they're working by their ability to finish all these projects that they're doing. And they end up focusing on the stuff that hasn't been done, the stuff that's getting procrastinated on. And that's an area of a lot of emotional angst and suffering. And what is often not being looked at is that there's a lot of growth that's still happening in spite of the fact that there's stuff that's not been done. So it's sort of like the horizon. You're moving towards your horizon. You keep walking, running towards the horizon, and you never get there. And you're measuring how far you are away based on where you are, what's not been done. And you're not measuring progress. You've just come a mile, 2 miles, 100 miles from where you started off at. But you're measuring all the things that could have, would have, should have been done. So that's one level of procrastination. But helping people to really start to focus their mind on the areas that are going to have the biggest results, and helping them to see where they're focusing on is causing them pain is very freeing.
Yeah. See, burnout to me is, now this is just my looking at it, it's one of the biggest things that a business person can have a problem with, because it affects everything else. I mean, you know, getting up in the morning, like you said before, being depressed and causing problems. But one of the things is that I like here that you had said, you start to wonder if you should keep going. And you had said, let go of your dreams and potentials. No, never. And I think your program, and even big and middle-sized industries, as you said, they all face, management also always faces problems like that and burnout, because they constantly have to keep thinking of ways to keep their employees busy, keep them happy, and sometimes foregoing, like you, foregoing the how do I stop getting burnout. And so I really, that really stuck out to me because of my, I don't know, preoccupation with burnout. No, never give up your dreams. Never give up going up to the next step or seeking help.
Seeking help is, you know, three things that I like to remind people of. Is you don't have to be alone. There is hope, and change is possible. So those three things, I can apply that and give that out to folks to remember and to pass along to other people when they're facing a challenge.
Now, you know, I know you had a very successful career, as we just talked about. All you had to do was hang up a shingle, which is one of the things, but not, it's not going to draw, you know, the business that you had, because a lot of it is word of mouth after that. Your patients like the advice you're giving them, you're helping them out. So they're going to tell other, you know, a friend that's maybe in a position that they were, hey, there's a great doctor you should go see. And that helps out a lot too. But I think you fell into, as you said before, the same problems that a lot of business people have. You were getting burned out and you had to look for something else to do. Your sister passing away was kind of the impetus to make you think about all of this. So you had something hit you that made you start to think about this. Is that the way it is with most business people when they feel like they're getting stressed that they have to have something in their life happen? Or is it like they see a marketing platform like that you have that says, gee, I may want to look at this. I'm feeling a little bit about what he's talking about.
A lot of times what helps someone to take a look at what's going on in their life is something that causes a paradigm shift, a different way of looking at the world. And that can happen when we hit a bottom of some sort, and we look at things. You know, the challenge is that we get used to the conditions that we're living in. We get used to the level of pain and suffering that we're having, and it gets worse and it gets worse gradually. And it takes something to catch your attention. And sometimes it's the gift of pain because something happened. So for me, it was my sister's death that really had me take a look at my life and compare how miserable I was. And my sister Magdalena had cancer and a prognosis that was really difficult. And she just faced it with love and grace and a smile on her face. And sometimes it can be a piece of information that's delivered through marketing or a story or something that you see that reminds you of the experience that you're having. So good marketing does that. It, mm-hmm. You know, when you have a headache and there's, marketing for, ibuprofen, that hits you. If you don't have a headache, you don't look at that marketing.
So that's in
platforms like this, when I'm allowed to talk about a problem, I had the opportunity a month ago. Spectrum News came and did a little piece on Your Next Act, and it was put out on their the TV for I think it was a day or so, and as a result of talking about it, we had some phone calls to the coaching program because, and a lot of times, it wasn't the individual entrepreneur who saw the piece. It was a family member, mother, a sister, that called and said, "Hey, you need to take a look at this. There's someone who looks like they could, help you with the problem that you're having." So that's the idea of putting yourself out into the world with. Here's the problem, here's the solution, this is what you get out of it.
Sure. And you just don't want to hang up a shingle on that because that's your good marketing piece. Yeah. And we talked about this before we went on, and I don't know if you had even thought about this before, but that piece that Spectrum did helped you out a lot, and maybe you had not thought about doing that, okay? But look at what you created from that. A family member may have, have seen that, or somebody saw it and said, geez, maybe I'll look into this.
And so part of my commitment this year has been to commit to turning my coaching program into something that's the next level of professionalism. So that means as the entrepreneur, I can't be doing everything. I need to find who can do things for me. And one of my who's is Baker PR down in Albany. And they're working with me to do PR. Mm-hmm. So they're the agency that got me the Spectrum news story. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what, like, growing up as a company means. I'm investing money to get the word out.
Sure.
And so that's exactly what that was intended to do.
Yeah, and yeah. It worked. Do you think that what I see a lot with business people is that they start a business and they want to expand right away without focusing in, and you had mentioned this, about focusing in on maybe a narrow area and then expanding that a little bit rather than going in full bore, and then they can't keep up with that, and then they fall into the same trap of, oh man, this didn't work out. What did I do? You find that some businesses just go in with a mentality of, I'm going to get so big right when I start out.
Yeah, the challenge is you know, supply and demand keeping up, and you can grow so big that you start to hurt yourself because you can't keep up. The other end of the spectrum is that you're broadcasting a message that's so wide that you're not really speaking to an audience that's able to hear your message. So as an example, you know, one of the passion areas for me is, you know, human happiness and flourishing. And I would love to have a business that's all I do is I talk about, you know, flourishing and happiness. However, that's hard for people to buy, and people want that, but there's not a pain point there, that there's not a problem really to be solved. You need something a little more niched down. So my happiness, I have a platform for thinking about how to build happiness into your life, and I'd love for everybody to have that. And I can talk about that on a program like this, a platform like this, so that everybody can see it. But when I go to market that and sell that, you know, my intention is to market it towards a niche, entrepreneurs who are stressed out and burnt out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's actually something that I'm in the middle of, and we can talk about that a little bit. You know, the Happiness Rules is a book that I'm hoping will be published end of this year, beginning of next year.
Excellent.
And, you know, it's simple ideas that you can implement as a way to think about how to get more happiness in your life. Now, the challenge with happiness is that it's super hard to define. And as individuals, we're really bad at predicting how to raise our levels of happiness. But there's more and more science that helps us with that. And what I've done is to connect the dots, you know, what I've done over the last 12 years to amplify my happiness and put it under four pillars, plus an on-ramp into the four pillars. So the on-ramp is pretty straightforward things, like focus on your sleep, focus on your nutrition, move more, a gratitude practice, and cut out negativity from your life as much as you can. And then the pillars, number one is we are never finished products. There's always room for us to be learning and growing, and that's important for our happiness. Number two is connection. There is so much information that our levels of life satisfaction and happiness ultimately are correlated with the level of relationships that we have in our life. So connection with individuals, connection with community, contributing and collaborating within the communities and individuals. Third is the idea of blazing your own trail. Many of us end up living our life by default. And it's important to remember that we can really design our life, blaze our own trail. And there's a couple of aspects, and this is kind of what you do with your passion projects, like, you know, the broadcasting and the media. The idea is, you know, you want to be working on figuring out the impact that you want to have on the world around you. And it doesn't have to be anything that's massively transformative to you, but you know, if you want to help lift people up, if you want to be a kinder person, but you start to get more clear on your impact, your purpose. You want to be working on what you're curious about, what are the things that interest you, and you want to be thinking about, you know, what are the things that you want to get more and more mastery around, where are you going to be doing the learning and growing. And this can be something that anybody can be implementing in their life, not just entrepreneurs, but whether you're working a 9-to-5 or whether you're not working. You know, starting to think about, you know, what's the trail that I'm blazing for myself? I'm in charge of that. And the last piece is the mindset that, you know, enjoy the ride no matter what. So much of what I learned at the moment that I made a decision that I was going to make changes in my life after my sister passed away happened very quickly. And it was a matter of no longer wallowing in negative thinking. No longer the thoughts would come up, but I just wouldn't pay attention to them. It was really kind of making the decision that I was in charge of my attitude and I was in charge of the changes that needed to happen next in my life. And the on-ramp is what I implemented right away. I started, you know, focusing on sleep. I started moving more. I started eating better, cut out negativity in my life, and developed a gratitude practice.
That's excellent. I like the fact, the way you explain that. You have the topics, but there's on-ramps to that. And I think the on-ramps are the building blocks. And after the building blocks comes the goal of what people need. How much do you feel that your psychiatry practice and education makes your next step successful?
I mean, it's huge. The when I was trying to decide what area I was going to focus on to have a bigger impact, I came up with idea after idea, and I tried different things. But the way I started to think about myself and my career capital, right? So the knowledge and the experience and the mastery that I've developed, you know, working with individuals for you know, 50,000 hours over, you know, the course of my career, it's like a, you know, tanker full of water, like a truck driving around full of water. And there's so much you can do with this water. You can wash windows, you can water lawns, you can fill up swimming pools, you know, you can give people water at a sporting event. But it was really about deciding this capital that I've built, like, how do I want to use it? Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, the career capital and my life experience. So as I think about it, you know, I'm a psychiatrist with career capital and knowledge and expertise in how people work. I'm also an entrepreneur who knows the entrepreneurial world. And I'm someone who's had my own share of knocks in life, right? So I've had burnout, I've had depression, I've had alcoholism. And when I'm wearing my coaching hat, that's an important thing to be able to share with people and connect with people. When I'm wearing my psychiatric hat with patients, that's not something I'm going to be bringing up.
Right.
Just not appropriate in there. The standards of care are not allowing that. So those are the areas, the three areas that I bring in. And I may not be individually the best psychiatrist, the best entrepreneur, you know, the person with the most life experience with the School of Hard Knocks. But when we put those Venn diagrams together and we go into that center, you know, there's not many people who are able to bring what I bring to coaching.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, I've seen, never been to, but you see clips online of life coaches, and they go on and they're rah, rah, rah. You know, they got large audience, rah, rah, rah. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. They leave after their presentation, but they don't give people the insights that you do just by talking here today from being through it. They've gone to college and taking some public speaking or, you know, some courses on life coaching. But I think it's amazing that you can draw on your life, because you've had so many experiences and have brought them into your next step, that I think that comes across when you're dealing with groups, or, you know, small groups or large groups, and that's more meaningful than just somebody standing there going rah rah rah. Because what happens in 3 months when that rah rah goes out, and then what do you have?
And there's you know, just wonderful coaches out there. The piece for me that has just been gratifying is being able to bring, like, my body of work, like my entire life, the stuff that's been professional and personal, and that, you know, the part to remember is this has been a 12-year journey to get to the point where I can, you know, clearly simplify and talk about these things that have been swirling in my head for a long time. So we also want to allow people the grace to, you know, get out there and pursue their dreams and, you know, their mission, whether they're coaches or entrepreneurs, and to give themselves the long runway to succeed. And it's enjoying the ride along the way. That's the gift Magdalena gave me. Is it's taken a long time to get to this point, but, you know, the learning and the experiments that I've done, the things that I tried that didn't work out, it's just been a learning experience that's been so fun.
Yeah. Well, as we said in the beginning, if you're not happy doing what you do in work, that affects your whole life. And you're happy now doing what you're doing. You know, I'm nowhere on the scale of you by any means, but when I started the talk show, I didn't want to pigeonhole myself, because I didn't want to focus in on politics or just the medical field, although I like to incorporate that in some shows. But people want information. And really, they don't care what it is. I mean, I have the cooperative extension director on, talking about plants, different times of the year, what to do. People love it. I have you on. You get a lot of feedback. People love it. So I feel for a community show, or, you know, it even goes farther sometimes, that people like information. And like you said, you see a commercial for ibuprofen, you have a headache, you're going to take that, remember that, and buy ibuprofen. If you don't have a headache, it won't mean anything to you. But if you're getting information that's fun and interesting, you know, you'll keep listening. So I just feel that I'm happy for you, because you had such and you still do, you have such a huge practice, but you've changed in midstream, and you're not 28 or 29 that says, boy, if I make this, what the heck, I've got so many years ahead. You made the decision midlife, and it's successful, and it's changed your life for the better. And I think that's one of the keys, is that it doesn't matter when you change.
Yeah, and, you know, it was looking back, the transformation to go from psychiatry to coaching was pretty easy. It should have been easy. It took me well over a year to get the courage and the gumption to take my professional identity and put that aside and said, there's this other piece of what I want to do that is really important to me, and how I'm going to execute on that is with coaching. Because it seemed like I was, you know, stepping out into something, taking off a professional identity and going into this wild west where, like you said, there's, you know, good coaches and there's coaches who are not held in super high regard. But the commitment to blaze my own trail, you know, what I was curious about. So I'm curious about human happiness and flourishing and mental fitness. And I love learning about things like how to build a business, how to market, how to communicate better and better. And the piece that you add to the table here is, you know, telling a story. So you say people love information. People love stories where the information gets wrapped up around, mm-hmm. right? So when you're able to take information and wrap it into a story, someone's life story, why did you start doing what you started doing, you know, however that is, you know, that's what kind of stands out in people's minds. And that's a wonderful service that you provide for your guests and then for the listeners.
Well, that's what makes me happy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't have much life experience in radio. Yeah, I've been doing it for probably, 11, 12 years on the internet and then on one of the local stations. But it really is making people happy and maybe helping them that I do it. My wife says, what are you doing it for? You get up early Saturday mornings. And I said, because I enjoy it, you know, and I think like it goes back to what you enjoy, what makes you happy. And, you know, of course, I didn't have a career that I draw from for this, but I'm amazed at you. I really am. You know, I've known you for a while, and for someone to get into this that is obviously a great asset to people from a fantastic practice that you had. It's pretty amazing to see that and to see your level of enthusiasm in helping business people get to their next step so that they can flourish as is your goal.
Yeah. Well, thanks. And, you know, if we look at blazing your own trail as one of the pillars for happiness, what you're doing with the radio career for yourself, you know, hits all those dots, checks all those boxes, rather. You know, something that you're curious about, something that gives you a purpose, an impact that you want to make on the world, a place where you can get mastery, you can get better and better and really kind of dream something up. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're right there, and you know, the happiness rules.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I've got a career part time, but I love it, enjoy it, and I'm happy. So that even gives me a great perspective on life, because you know, I mean, I've had my own businesses in the past, and I've come to retirement age, but. You know, what I'm doing now is like fantastic. You know, I drive school bus for special needs kids. I love the kids. Their parents are great. Doing this, I mean, I'm in a happy spot now. Where years ago, when I had some of my businesses, if you were around, you know, it would have been a huge help, because there's, like I said before, there's so many, even so many small businesses that I think, in your practice, you could help, or you can help people out of defining your goals and taking that next step so that you can find happiness and you can clarify what your problems are so you can build on those in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I want to know a little bit more about this book, because I think it's going to be a number one bestseller.
Well, we'll see. I've had a couple of ideas for a series of books, and the happiness rules has been a topic that I've been talking about for, you know, well over a year now, and it sort of struck me that this is a way of simplifying information for people to be able to think through the choices that they're making, so that rather than chasing after status and money and, you know, the external trapping of success, which is kind of what society teaches pretty commonly, that there's a whole nother way to look at our lives and how we're designing our lives, and that the heart of, you know, the the reason for happiness rules to exist is that, you know, happiness is what's going to get you to be successful, mm-hmm. rather than being the outcome of success.
Yeah, and being self-fulfilled. I think that's the number one thing. I mean, in your business, you have to make your customers happy so that they keep coming back and enjoy what you're doing. But you have to be self-fulfilled to do that, because if you're not, you're not going to impart that feeling to the people you're around, and they may not want to be around you. Right. And I think that's fantastic. And I love your blog. I love the little pieces you do, because people can get these small building blocks.
Yeah.
And I think the books are going to be very interesting.
Yeah, let me. So on the website, there's a blog section that's got maybe 10 or 12 videos. They're short. They're 3 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Where they were taken from is my Facebook Live page. So, or my Facebook page. So, and we haven't done a good job. I haven't done a good job of keeping the website up to date with the latest video. Monday through Friday, and I started doing this about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago. I go on Facebook, Manuel Astruc Coaching, and I do 3 to 5 minutes on happiness, success, leadership, mental fitness. Sometimes I'll have a theme for a week. Last month, the month of April was Stress Awareness Month. I did stress for a month, talking about stress and how to make stress better, what stress is all about. But anyone can go to the Facebook page, or on my website, you can sign up and you'll get an email every day with the newest morning musings, and a weekly newsletter that I put out of the podcasts and the articles that I'm seeing that kind of catch my attention and I think are worth other people paying attention to.
Just don't get too big on that. Because you don't want to say mental amusings and then have to tell a joke every day. You want to keep it focused.
Right.
They're great. They really are. I go to them and they're inspiring. I mean, you know. But so how do you want to close? Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you would like to maybe give a little update or expand a little bit?
So people can follow me through the website or on Facebook, and that'll keep you up to date. But you know, the ability to make a difference and to have a bigger impact has been for 12 years what's driven me. And what I have a lot of clarity on now did not start like that. One of the things that's important is that we not compare ourselves where we are today to where someone else is today. So anybody can start, you know, their next act. They can start to blaze their own trail from wherever they are. There's no need to compare. You can have sources of inspiration from what other people are producing and doing in the world. But there's no need to compare. Just start now and keep going to, you know, make up your mind that happiness is what you're going to be using to help you to be successful.
Mm-hmm. So many old adages are still true today. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, you do your own thing and make yourself better. And, you know, it's great. Well, listen, I appreciate you being with us today.
And pleasure.
It's always fun. Of course, we'll have you on again, and as the book gets closer, and then when you're on your book tour, maybe we'll go along with you and interview you at different places. But no, I'm glad that it should prove to be an interesting venture too.
Yeah, and, can't wait.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, and have a great Memorial Day weekend. Hope you can get some time off.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. And thanks, everybody, for being with us today. And next week, we'll have another great show for you. And have a great Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy the time. It's supposed to be a beautiful weather-wise. So have a great time.